Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Well, today we start our Holy Month of message series, and that's our Jesus series. How many of you know it's all about Jesus? Come on, somebody. And this is our Easter series leading up to Easter, and I'm so excited about it. And I just want to give you my title, and then let's pray and let's get into it. But the title of the message today is this: Jesus, the Passover Lamb. Jesus, the Passover Lamb. Bow your head with me. God, we love you. God, we praise your name. We bless you for North Point Community Church. God, thank you for every person in this place. We have a divine design. Allow your word to wash over us. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Jesus, the Passover Lamb. So I'm about to read scripture, Exodus 12, 1 through 14. Okay, this is a long piece of scripture, but this is the first Passover that ever happened. This is what God told Moses and Aaron. So y'all stay with me. This is the first Passover. This is what it says. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of the year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of the lamb needed in accordance with that person that will eat it. The animal you choose must be a year old male without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over fire with the head, legs, internal organs. Do not leave anything out till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked in your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Everyone say, the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals. I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance." So there it is, the first Passover. And that's what God told them to do. According to this passage, this very first Passover, it took place on May 4th, 1451 BC. Guys, that's 3,474 years that Passover has been celebrated by the Jewish people. And from the very beginning, God carefully placed very clear clues to the Passover feast that pointed to the Messiah, the Passover Lamb. Corinthians, Paul says this. He says, "Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed." So today, Jesus, the Passover Lamb, I want to give you three revelations. And there's more revelations than this. And a revelation is just a truth from God revealed to us. And these three revelations, I feel, are the most important with Jesus, the Passover Lamb. If you're taking notes, here's my first point. Christ is revealed in the timing of Passover. Everyone say, timing. God is very clear in his instructions as to exactly the date and how every detail of Passover is to be executed and to be celebrated. So I just want you to think about this. Jesus arrived in Jerusalem the exact same day the lambs were chosen for Passover. This is amazing that Jesus died on the cross the exact day and time that all the lambs were sacrificed for Passover. Guys, timing is everything to Almighty God. Timing means everything. And that's actually my favorite country song. It's entitled "Timing is Everything" from the movie Country Strong. And I'm gonna sing this for you right now. If y'all get mad at my country twang, I'm sorry. I don't care. When the stars line up and you catch a break, people think you're lucky, but you know it's grace. It can happen so fast or a little bit late. Timing is everything. You can call it fate or destiny. Sometimes it really seems like it's a mystery, 'cause you can be hurt by love or healed by the same. Timing is everything. I could have been another minute late. Okay, I'll stop. I'm sorry. Okay. Timing is everything, but it's not limited to that secular song your pastor just sang, right? No, God's timing, it is ordained. God's timing is unbelievable. Let me tell you this, sometimes in my life, looking back, some of the things that were the greatest setbacks in my life, it was God's divine timing setting me up for the greatest moments of my life. God's timing, it is ordained and it is divine. There are three words in the New Testament for time. The first is kairos, God's time. The second, chronos, our time. And the third is plero, which means the fullness of time. The fullness of time is really everything to Almighty God. Galatians 4:4, it says, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law." This word fullness indicates fully completing or finishing something. The intention of Passover was that God's people would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God's blood, that the Passover lamb, that it was enough and it was sufficient. And I want to declare to you today that the Passover lamb is still enough and its timing is still perfect today. He who controls time and space meticulously arranged the perfect timing for Jesus to be introduced to the world. It wasn't early, friends. It wasn't late. It was right on time. Say it with me. Say right on time. Rulers won and lost kingdoms right on time. Armies prevailed and were defeated right on time. Empires rose and fell right on time. Every single detail of time and space was meticulously planned so that God's one all-encompassing truth would be revealed. Do you know that the timing of every single thing in human history had to be arranged so that a Savior would be introduced by John the Baptist in the Jordan River right on time? So that a Savior would be introduced and ride in on a colt to the Temple Mount right on time. So a Savior would be slain at a precise time on a cross outside Jerusalem right on time. So royal blood could be placed on the doorpost of men's hearts right on time. And eternal death would pass over their households right on time. Friends, it happened in the fullness of time. In other words, the revelation of a Savior was the crowning moment of all of human history. So think about that in the context of God arranged and manipulated time and space and ordained and orchestrated all of this. I want to ask you a question. If God can handle that, well, what about in your life? Do you think God is going to answer your prayer on time? Do you think that he will ever be late meeting your need? Let me tell you this, that God could have ordained and orchestrated this entire Sunday morning service just so one person in this place would have their time with the Passover lamb. That's how much God cares about you. You know, my parents tell this story, and I love this story, but there was a woman, and she was just, you know, so distraught about her son. He was wayward, he was lost, and she would come to church and just pray for her son every Sunday morning, and God would not answer her prayer. And finally, one morning, she had it out with God, and at the altar call, she came down to the left of the altar call, and she said, "God, I'm finished. I'm done. You're not going to do anything with my son." And she didn't know it, but her son had come to church that exact same Sunday, and her son had answered the exact same altar call. She was on the left, and he was on the right. She thought that she was too late, but she was right on time. I want to tell you, God's got you. Never doubt the timing of Almighty God, the Passover lamb. He's right on time. If you're taking notes, my second point is this. Christ is revealed in the lamb of Passover. Everyone say lamb. Lamb. The lamb had to have no blemish. It had to be perfect. So there's only one human being that ever walked this earth that was perfect, that was spotless, that lived the perfect life, and that is Jesus Christ. Pilate said it right when Pilate declared, "I find no fault in him." When his accusers came and they arrested him at the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus actually predicted what would happen. Jesus said, "The evil one is coming for me, and he can't find one thing wrong with me." God's plan is simple, friends. It's the lamb plan, okay? It's the lamb plan. Here's the simple lamb plan. Take a lamb, a mature one-year-old with no blemishes. Observe it for 4 days. Make sure it's spotless. On the 14th day, when the angel takes all the firstborns, kill the lamb, put the blood over the doorpost, and I will pass over you. That is the lamb plan. That's how simple it is. And it's all about substitution. Say substitution. God spares Israel's sons. And it wasn't because their sons were better than Egypt's sons, but because a spotless lamb dies in their place as their substitute. And its blood covers their doorpost. Let me tell you this, that every person in this place, we are sinners. We deserve to die. We're no better than any other person, but because the spotless lamb gave his life for us, he puts his blood on the doorpost and we have salvation. You know, the law clearly describes God's intention. Leviticus says this, "Then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, the lamb, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him." That was written 1,500 years before Jesus died on the cross. Moses was setting it up. The Passover lamb, our substitute already. Isaiah prophesied. Isaiah said, "And we will, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all of us." That was said 700 years before Christ gave his life. He was setting up our substitute, the Passover lamb. And those that hung out with Jesus, his best friends, his buddies, they understood what was going on. Peter said it. Peter said, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. By his stripes, we are healed." By his substitution, we are healed. And then the Apostle Paul, he says it so wonderful in Colossians. He says, "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." Friends, look and listen to me today. Today we live and we will never die Because God looks at us and sees the blood of his son on the doorpost of our hearts. And then judgment, it passes by. He gives us eternal life. In the book, Written in Blood, Robert Coleman tells a powerful story. And the story's of a little boy whose sister needed a blood transfusion. She had a rare blood type, which she shared with her little brother. And the fact that her little brother had recovered from the same disease 2 years earlier, they made them hopeful that this was going to work. This blood transfusion was the answer. So the doctor went to the little boy and just explained to the little boy what was happening. We need to take your blood and give it to your sister. And he said, do you want to give your blood to your sister? The little boy, lip quivering, tears in his eyes. Sure, I'll do it for my sister. They put them next to each other and hooked them up, and the blood left the little boy's body down the plastic tubes into the sister's body, and the little boy was so proud. He was smiling and looking at his sister. And then after a while, the smile faded, and he was very distraught, and he looked up at the doctor and said, Doctor, when am I going to die? You see, he thought he was giving his life for his sister, but he was just giving his blood. Listen to me. 2,000 years ago, Jesus became our Passover lamb, our substitute, and his death and his blood, guys, it's given us life. Instead of judgment, we have mercy. Instead of disease, we have healing. Instead of despair, we have hope. Instead of hell, we have heaven. Instead of fear, we have faith because of the Lamb, because of the Passover Lamb, because of our substitute in Jesus Christ. My third and final point today is this. Christ is revealed in the cups of Passover. Everybody say cups. In the cups of Passover. The entire ritual of the Passover meal, it included every utensil and item, everything on the table, it's all symbolic of Christ. So all of you are more familiar with the Passover meal than you realize. Today, when we partook of communion, in part, we are celebrating the Passover meal. The bread represents his body. The cup represents his blood. But many times we forget that it wasn't just one cup. We think, no, there's just one cup we're passing around. In every Passover meal, there were four cups. And these four cups were monumental for the children of Israel because it celebrated them being delivered from the bondage of Egypt. But for us today, there are four incredible truths that they represent. So I'm about to give you a few, you know, religious words, but I'm going to break it down so you know exactly what it means. The first cup is the cup of sanctification. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. The second cup, the cup of deliverance. I will rescue you from their bondage. The third cup, the cup of redemption. I will redeem you with an outstretched hand. And then the cup of praise. I will take you as my people. You see, we rejoice in the fact today that the Passover lamb, he's chosen us by his shed blood. So the first cup that we drink deeply of, it's the cup of his sanctification. Whenever you hear sanctification, it means set apart. Sanctified, we are set apart for the righteousness of Christ. He has set us apart and given us a life like no other on the planet. In a world of fear and sorrow, friends, we are sanctified. We are set apart for a fulfilled life with God. Believers, friends, we're called to be different. I don't know if you knew that, but we're called to be different than the world. We're called to be different than society. We're not to be self-centered and to be all about, no, we're about to be about God and about others. We are set apart. We're called to be different. My grandfather, Pastor Rodney Duron, he's honestly my hero. He was an incredible man, and I wouldn't be in the ministry today if it wasn't for my grandfather. Actually, none of us in our family would be in the ministry doing kingdom work if it wasn't for Pastor Rodney Duron, just an incredible man. He didn't just pastor our church, he pastored the city. They said, he's the city's pastor because wherever he went, He was different. He went to the gym. He went to the restaurants. He went to the hospital. He would go down the street, and people were just, they were drawn to him, and they loved my grandfather. Every walk of life, and they didn't know why. They couldn't put their finger on it, and I'll tell you why. Because he had drank deeply from the cup of sanctification, and he was set apart for the work of Almighty God. God wants to do the exact same thing for all of us. God wants to set us apart, to sanctify us. He wants us to have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And Jesus' blood has set us apart for lives that are no longer limited, but God gives us an eternal life, something greater than you can imagine. It's called the abundant life. How many of you want to live the abundant life with Christ? That's what sanctification gives us. The second cup is our deliverance. It's our deliverance. I think it's amazing that the children of Israel, they had been in bondage for hundreds of years in Egypt. But after the night of Passover, Passover was their last night in bondage. After Passover, they were set free. And I want to tell you this, God wants to deliver some people in this place today. God wants to set you free where you're not bound by addiction, by your thoughts, bound by what you think are your limitations. But as soon as you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Passover Lamb, he sets us free and he will deliver you from glory to glory. The third cup is our redemption. Redemption is literally having the power to make something of little value really have great value. Look at your neighbor and say, you are redeemed. I'll tell you the greatest place in the world where your kids' dreams will come true and where they will be molded and shaped into the men and women they need to be, and they'll just have the best life ever. I'm telling you, it's not Disney World, okay? It's not the beach. It's not going snow skiing. It's one place, and it's called Chuck E. Cheese, okay? It's Chuck E. Dadgum Cheese, I'm telling you, where dreams come true. You get in there, and there's pizza grease on everything, and it's delightful. I get my son Doc, and I make him go to Chuck E. Cheese. I just want to play the games, right? I'm like, get out of the way, son. I got this one. You're getting all the tickets, you know? It's so much fun. But you get the tickets at Chuck E. Cheese. Those things are worthless, right? There's little pieces of paper. They mean nothing. You can't take them anywhere unless you take them to the redemption center there at Chuck E. Cheese. So after you're done and you spend $150 playing games, you take all your tickets and you redeem them for three glorious pieces of Tootsie Roll, right? And you get a little jumper frog and your kids leave happy with a future, with hope. You may have been told your entire life, listen to me, that you're worthless. Your dad may have rejected you. Your mom may have abandoned you. Your friends may laugh at you. Your teacher might have said you'll never amount to anything. Maybe your kids even despise you. Your life may be worthless to everyone in the world, but the Passover lamb's blood says otherwise. You are worth the blood of a king, the blood of a savior, and the very God of heaven today. He says you're a son and you are a daughter. The last cup I think is very fitting because the last cup is the cup of praise. And this cup is based on the promise of God in scripture, and it says this: I will make you my people. You know, as I grow old and I'm getting really set in my ways, I'm an old man now. I don't like traveling a lot, you know. I like staying around. I like Shreveport-Bossier. I like my peeps. I like my tribe. I like being around all of you. When it comes to the cup of praise, God feels the same way about his people. You know, we praise him because an unworthy and sinful, imperfect, weak people, God still claims us as his own. We praise him because we belong to him today. We praise him because he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. We praise him because we have a special place in his heart, and we praise him because we are his people called by his name. He's the Passover lamb, and he gives us the cup of praise. So this blood that covers us all today, it allows us to drink of the cup of sanctification. Friends, we are set apart for an abundant life. Deliverance, you're not meant to be bound, you're meant to be set free. The cup of redemption, you are so valuable to the Father. You're a son and a daughter, and the cup of praise, we are his people and we are called by his name. You know, with all of this talk about the Passover lamb, you might say, what's the greatest revelation? Or what's the greatest truth in all of this? Well, one of the most influential theologians of the 20th century was a man by the name of Karl Barth. He was a critical thinker, prolific writer, one who explored the interrelation of faith, theology, culture. In 1962, he toured the United States and went to seminaries. And while he was at one of these seminaries, a student asked this incredible theologian a question. And they said, can you, in your judgment, tell me what the essence of the Christian faith is? Can you just summarize it? This great theologian, he paused for a moment. He said, yeah, I think I can do that. He said, to me, this is Christianity summarized. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I want to tell you this, that from cover to cover, God is trying to get you to believe and understand that he loves you. And the greatest demonstration of his love is that he sent his son, the Passover lamb. Yes, I've gotten into some stuff today and I've done a lot of things that God is gonna do for all of us. But right now, I want you to put your hands together for what Christ has already done for us. I want you to put your hands together for what he has finished, for what God has allowed us to be. I want you to stand to your feet right now, and I want us to pray. But never forget this. In the Passover lamb, God's timing is perfect. If you're still waiting, and if you're wondering, God's timing is that he has ordained every step of your life. Maybe you've taken some wrong steps, gone out of the way. God is going to take that, and his timing is going to be perfect for you. You know, maybe you feel like you got to do it on your own. I got to qualify myself. No, you don't, friend. He's the lamb. He is our substitute. He is the one that covers us. And through it all, we've got to give God praise for what he has done in our lives. I love each and every one of you. Bow your head with me. And I want to pray. And then we're going to give God our best worship. God, thank you for sending your son, the Passover lamb. Thank you for your divine timing, God, that you care about every detail of our life. You care about the ups, the downs, the good times, the bad times. And God, you're orchestrating this for our good. All things work together for our good. God, I pray for those that are trying to do this on their own. Lord, I pray we'll step back and allow you to be our substitute, allow you to be our covering, and we will accept your deliverance, your sanctification, your redemption. And God, we give you praise for everything. Lord, I just pray for all the needs in this house. Lord, I pray if we're going through anything, we will just worship through the trial and worship to the victory. God, we love you. And today, we're thankful for Jesus, the Passover lamb. Jesus, you gave your life for us, and we have eternity with you. Lord, we bless your name, and we love you. Right now, I just want you to bow your head. And out of a sign of surrender, just lift your hands right now to Jesus, saying, God, I give you everything. And give God your best worship. Come on, let's worship.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.